Good morning. Good morning. I think it's time for us to go ahead and begin our worship hour together. If we could all be making our way to our seats. I hate to break up wonderful fellowship. I don't think I've ever heard it this loud since COVID started. You guys are in a great mood today. It's wonderful to see. We've all been blessed to be here this morning already. We've been inspired by Rick Harper's presentation on the medical missions work in Guatemala, and there are such wonderful things taking place, all made possible by our wonderful God. And as we are here, we're away from the clutter and the messiness of life. We're before God, and all He is good. He is perfect. He cannot disappoint us, and there's no way we can be anything but blessed if we give our heart to Him. In that light, I would like to share with you this morning Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Let's worship.
Good morning. If you would, let's stand as we sing. Sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse.
There is
number 396. We're using a hymnal number 396. Sing number 957. Following this song, we'll have our opening prayer. 957, if you're using a hymnal.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then
if convenient, would you stand with me in prayer, please? Our gracious Father, we come before you this morning in awe. We come before you knowing that you are the true God, that you love us and you've given us so much each and every day. Lord, the song that we just sang is so true that, you know, this world is only very short period of time. We look forward to that day that we can have that opportunity to spend with you, dear Father, in heaven. Father, we have so much to be appreciative, but the biggest gift that you gave us was giving your Son, who came and died upon that cross of Calvary for us. Help us, dear Father, to take this each and every day with us as we go to school, to work, play, whatever we do, and realize that the only thing that truly matters in this life is the blessing that you have given in Him. Father, we want to just pray for our country at this time, not only our country, but the whole world. Turmoil is around us, and just as every day in strife. Lord, we pray that you'll be able to grow up leaders, not only in our country, but throughout the world, that will bow before you and to serve you, dear Father. We are in such need of this. And we pray that, Father, that you'll help not only the body that meets here, but all throughout this country and throughout the world. to do what we can, dear Father, to be the examples, to be a light upon all those we come in contact with. Father, we pray that you'll be with many families here that have loved ones who may have recently passed on. We pray that you can give them comfort, dear Father, as you only can. We pray for those who are being treated, that have severe health problems, and are being treated this time, that, Lord, that you'll be with those that are ministering unto them, that you will guide them to give relief unto all those who have need. We pray that as we continue on with this service this morning, dear Father, that you'll help us to put our minds for this next hour just completely focused upon you, and to put our struggles aside, to put everything out of mind, but just to focus upon you, the love that you had. And again, thank you for sending your Son. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Please be seated. For our lesson this morning, we'll sing number 634. Number 634, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes."
Oh, land of rest for thee, I sigh and will the moment come, when I shall lay my armor by and work in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes.
Encouragement this morning, number 947. Number 947 will be our song of encouragement.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning will come from John chapter 8, 31 through 36. But before we do, I'd like to mention that here at Central, we have a wonderful children's training class. And that training class will be starting shortly. If you'll pass out these doors, go to the right, and just follow all the little feet and the larger feet that are carrying the little feet, you'll find your way to that classroom. Once again, our scripture reading will come from the book of John, chapter 8, 31 through 36. And I will be reading this from the English Standard Version. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
If you receive Daily Focus, you may have noticed that our prayer list is probably as long as it's ever been. There are many, many that are going through difficult times and have asked for our prayers, and we do pray for them. But right now, we want to offer a prayer for someone that's really having a struggle. You have probably read about Linda's brother Johnny, who was in an accident not long ago and has been through surgeries. And he's still hospitalized, going just through a really tough time, I'm told. And so it's been suggested that we go together in prayer on behalf of Johnny. And of course, there are many others we want to remember in prayer, but right now we want to focus that prayer on Johnny. So would you bow with me, please? Our God and our Father in heaven, we do praise you, Lord, for your greatness, for your love and mercy, and for your willingness to hear the prayers of ordinary people like us. And Father, we know that you are unlimited in your power, in your wisdom, unlimited in your love for us. And so we beseech you, Father, on behalf of Johnny. He's had a really difficult time, Father, and continues to have. And so, Lord, right now, we just ask that you look down upon him and bless him with healing and strength, if that be your will. And Father, very soon, help him to feel that improvement and to know that you are with him. Bless Linda and all of her family that love him. And Father, we just pray that you'll help all of us. We have so many, Lord, that we are concerned about, some difficult, very tough times. And Father, we pray that you'll look down upon each of these and bless us all, Father. We all need you. Be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's really good to see you this morning. We have a good number for traveling season. Maybe we'll get out of traveling season someday, but really good number. Some of you are visiting with us, and we're very thankful that you are here. Others are family members that have come in for a visit, and again, really good to see you. But we're really glad. And those of you that are online, we're very thankful that you're joining us. Hope that you'll be able to come back and be with us in person sometime before long. But until that day comes, keep on joining us in this way. But we are very happy about it. It's a day that we've not looked forward to, though, because today is the last day that Louise Kleitz is going to be in our family, in the sense of being in person. She'll always be part of the Central family, no doubt about that. And she is here with us this morning, of course. Louise has been here 35 or so years, and wow, what an impact she has made on this congregation. Today, Rick Harper, in his report on Health Talents International, noted some of that, but there's a whole lot more than just health talents. There's been plenty of other places where she has helped and made a difference. And for us, it has made a difference. So Louise, know that you are going to be missed. You're always going to be part of our family and loved, and our prayers go with you as you get ready to move later this week. And if you didn't hear Rick's report, I urge you to get back on our YouTube channel or our Facebook channel and listen to that report. It's very encouraging. There's a lot of good that comes from mission trips, short-term mission trips, medical mission or otherwise. I'm thankful to have been part of about six of those, and it's just one of the most wonderful feelings. Come home from Disney, you're going to be exhausted, and you're going to be looking at your bank account. But come home from a medical mission trip, and you're going to be rejoicing because you know you've made a difference in the lives of several, and they've made a difference in your life. So I urge more of you to think about doing those medical mission trips. Talk to Rick or his wife Susan today while they're with us, or several of the number. He mentioned that Andrew and Mary have been involved in many of those, and many others. The Jernigans, plenty of people have been on those trips. But it would be a blessing to you if you could do that. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. It looks like we're not going to be outside, as I had hoped, so disregard the announcement that is made later, if it is made. It will be inside due to some other factors that are beyond our control. But come back and join us. We're going to continue our series on parables for sinners. And this parable will come from Luke chapter 13. And I really hope you'll come back and join us for this. It's a wonderful lesson that Jesus gives us, the parable of the barren fig tree. So join us at 6 o'clock as we worship God again. Now let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible open or turned on or whatever it is. And let's get into the Word of God and learn things that He has there for us. Probably every one of us has watched scenes of astronauts, whether it be on the moon or in the International Space Station, and they're just kind of floating around, and that's what they're doing. The moon, not completely, but the space station, you kind of float around because it's zero gravity there. And I can't say that I've ever experienced that. I like floating on my back at the beach, something like that. But to experience total weightlessness, I'm sure it must be a great rush. It must be a wonderful experience. But even those astronauts, when they return to Earth, when they return to the domain of gravity, then they come back down to Earth. They now again weigh what they did when they left. Well, in a similar way, those who are spiritually mature feel the weight of sin. We know we have sinned against God. And sometimes it really weighs us down to know that. And we think, wow, is there any way that I could escape that? Well, the passage that was just read to us by David, that talks about that. Listen again to part of that passage in John 8, verses 34 through 36. Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And in that passage, Jesus makes it very clear we can be freed from our sins, just like the astronauts that go into outer space and they are freed from the law of gravity. In a similar way, we can be freed from the law of sin and death, and Jesus says, "I can do that." Now, what exactly does that mean? Let's talk about that for a few minutes. First of all, let's talk about one who can set us free. One who can set us free. I want to begin by looking at an example in the Old Testament of somebody that thought they had found a way to be delivered, and yet it totally failed. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Verses 16 and following, 2 Chronicles 28, beginning in verse 16. We're looking at King Ahaz of Judah, and he reigned, a number of years and was not a good king. That's what the Bible tells us. And so listen to what we find there in 2 Chronicles 28, beginning in verse 16. "At that time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help." Now, Assyria was a notably cruel and vicious nation. And here is the king of Judah sending to the king of Assyria for help. Now, why would he do that? Read on. "For the Edomites had again invaded and defeated Judah and carried away captives. And the Philistines have made raids on the cities in the Shephelah and the Negev of Judah, taken Beth-Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederah, Soko with its villages, Timnath with its villages, and Gizmo with its villages. And they settled there. In other words, the enemies have come in, they've taken over. We need deliverance. We need somebody to free us. And so King Ahaz says, I've got it. I'm going to send to the king of Assyria, and if I pay him enough, he'll come and deliver us. Well, he did pay him. The verses in this section tell us that. But look at verse 20 and see the outcome of that plan to be freed from these enemies. So Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Not a very good plan. What should Ahaz have done? He should have turned to God. He should have turned to the one who created this nation of Israel, who gave them this land in which they dwelt. But instead of doing that, he said, I'm going to seek help from a king, an earthly king, who is normally our enemy. And it totally backfired. Well, that's what we don't want to happen, because we also are captives. We are captives to sin. Look again at what Jesus said in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In other words, you can be freed. And there were some in that group that immediately responded, well, we've never been under the subjection of anybody. Well, of course they had been. Their memory was very short. They had often been in subjection. They were right then under the reign of Rome. But they were saying, we don't need deliverance. We don't need freedom. But that's what Jesus says. And by the way, the word there in the Greek means to cause someone to be set free or to be released, to set free. You are captured. You are under bondage. And so you need somebody to free you. And then Jesus went on in verse 34, as we read earlier. Listen again. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Are we slaves? And most Americans would say, well, absolutely not. I am a free person. I'm my own person. Nobody tells me what to do. And yet Jesus says, you are a slave of sin. You practice sin, you are a slave of sin, and thus the great need for deliverance. In Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about this idea as well. Romans chapter 6, he says in verses 16, or rather in verses 17 and 18. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now we're still slaves, Paul says, but look at the outcome. The outcome is just so much better. And when you obeyed from the heart, he says, that form of doctrine that had been delivered to you, you were freed from your sins. Somebody came in and defeated the enemy and rescued you and set you free. You can be freed from your sins, Jesus says. Paul affirms that. And is that really such a big deal, you may be wondering? Well, go a little further in Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 23, and you'll agree, if you believe the Bible, it is a big deal. Because Romans 6 verse 23 goes on to say, as we have so often heard, he says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not talking there about physical death. Everyone will die physically unless the Lord comes first. But he's talking about the worst death, the second death, as we talked about a few weeks ago, and that is eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death. And because I have practiced sin in my life, I am a slave to sin. Is there anybody that can free me? And Jesus said, I'm the one. There was an incident that happened in the days of the Civil War. You may have heard of Rose O'Neill Greenough. On October 1st, 1864, she was trying to escape the enemy. She was a spy during the Civil War, and the enemy had found out about her. They were pursuing her. She was in a boat, and the boat turned over, and she drowned. Well, you may be thinking, why didn't she just swim? Because she had sewn her gold into her clothing to smuggle out the gold, and it was quite an amount of gold that she had in her clothing. She had sewn that into her clothing, and the weight of that pulled her under, and she could not escape. And I don't want to make light of her situation, but I think it's so revealing of us, because sometimes we are clinging to our treasures, and those are the very things that are going to pull us down. When Jesus says, I can free you from sin, yet we say, I want this. I want to hang on to this. Jesus says, the wages of sin is death. Let me free you. Now, what does it mean to be freed from our sins? What does that mean exactly? I mean, clearly Jesus says, I can do that. I want to do that for you. But what would that mean if Jesus were to free me from my sins? There's two ideas. One of them, I think we all know very well. The other one, we may not really think about a lot, but we should. The first idea is that it means that we're freed from the guilt of our sins. We are freed from the guilt of our sins. We have been caught red-handed, so to speak, and now we have punishment ahead of us. But freed from our sins means you're not going to be punished. That sin is now gone. Let me show you again in the Bible the truthfulness of that. For example, in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, God is talking to Judah here. And he's saying, you have really wearied me with your sins. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 24. You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me. God is talking here. You have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. But, read on, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I mean, I know I weary God with my sins, but God says, I'm willing. I'm willing to just put those out of sight, blot them out. And I really like the way it's stated in Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. And you talk about an image. This image is powerful. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Micah's talking about the same time that Isaiah's prophesying. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I'd say that qualifies as being freed from sin, wouldn't you? Maybe you've been out at sea and dropped something overboard, and you tell the captain of the cruise ship, oh, stop, I dropped my phone. Forget about it. That phone is gone. It will never again be seen, most likely. Well, that's the way our sins are. God throws those sins into the depths of the sea. Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 29. Jesus is the reason we can say this. John on that occasion told his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why Jesus came, to take it away, to cast it into the depths of the sea. And he himself, in Matthew 26, verse 28, something we're going to be participating in here in a little bit, the Lord's Supper, on the night he instituted that, said this about the cup. Matthew 26, 28. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The sins I've committed, the sins you've committed, the sins of many, Jesus said, my blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So what does it mean to be freed from my sin? It means that I will not be held guilty at judgment. If I go to court of law in this land and the evidence is right there out in front of me, here, Your Honor, these things show that Tim did the crime, then I can expect judgment and condemnation. God sees my sins. There's no doubt I did, or you did. But Jesus says, let me take care of that. I've shed my blood so you can be freed from those sins. Freed from sin means forgiven. We're not going to be held accountable for it. Praise God. And second, what does it mean to be freed from our sins? It means freed from the power of sin. Freed from the power of sin. We talked about astronauts earlier and how up in outer space they are floating around, but when they come back down to Earth, they are again subject to the bondage of gravity. Well, does that describe us? I mean, we're going to be freed from our sins. Does that mean we're going to have to come back into the domain of the world? No, not if we choose to remain in the domain of God. That's the freedom from the power of sin. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. You remember the encounter that God had with Cain? Cain and Abel, the first two sons born on earth, and they've made each of them a sacrifice to God. God had favor toward Cain's, Abel's sacrifice, but not toward Cain's. And Cain was angry. Don't know why, but he was jealous, I guess. And God confronted him, gave him a chance. He says this in part in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Now again, that's a powerful image. Imagine somebody calling you this morning before you left the house and said, you know, you need to be careful because there is a bear on your front porch. Are you going to walk out on that front porch and say, hey, bear, come on in? Probably not. You know, we're very careful. Well, God says sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you. You must rule over it. But that didn't work out so well, did it? Because Cain went ahead and murdered his brother and was marked for the rest of his life. Does that mean that we don't really have any power over sin? God tells us to rule over it, but we don't. David in Psalm 19, verse 13, Psalm 19 and verse 13 offered this prayer to God. And again, it shows the power that sin can have. David said, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Did you notice where David says, don't let my presumptuous sins have dominion over me? But how many times have we found ourselves failing again? Because sin has again arisen in our lives. What we said we would never do again, we're doing it again. The power of sin can be great. Let's go back to John chapter 8 for a minute. John 8 verses 31 and 32. And here are the keys to Jesus having power, giving us freedom from the power of sin. John 8 verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look at that in verse 31, the keys to overcoming the power of sin. Number one, abide in my word. That's why we have these lessons on Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's why we get together for Bible study two or three times a week. That's why we urge you to get into your Bible on a regular basis. If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples. And that's the second key, is living what we read in the Word. A disciple doesn't just sit there and listen. They actually carry out the will of the one they're listening to. And if we were to do that on a more rigorous basis, letting God's Word abide in us and truly being His disciples, you just watch the power of sin melt. It won't happen all at once. It may not happen completely, but sin will no longer have the power over you that it once did. Or think about it in the way Paul describes it again in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, this time we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. And again, it gives steps. And the big idea here is proactivity. Proactivity. That means I know I'm liable to sin. I know that I have sinned often in the past. I don't want to do it again. So what can I do to not sin? Listen to what he says. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. And the number one thing there is, get away from it. If God tells you in His Word that is a sin, get away from it. Don't go back to the neighborhood again, because you know what's going to be there. Stay away from sin. Now the second part, as he goes on to say in verse 13, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. In other words, take Him as your master. Listen to the voice of God, not to the voice of the world. And this is a problem we all struggle with. The world appeals to us in various ways, and we want to be like the world in this way or that way, even though we know this is not right. So step back, get away from it, and present yourself to God. And that leads to verse 14, the outcome that we all want. Sin will have no dominion over you. Sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace, freed from the power of sin. And implicit in these ideas is that Jesus is going to be working with us. He doesn't just sit up there and say, here's what you need to do, and good luck with it, check back with me later. No, Jesus works with us as we are freed from our sins. And if my desire is truly to be holy, to be set apart from the world, He'll help me. Again, it won't happen overnight. Sanctification is a process, but He will work with us. Praise God for that. I think almost all, and probably all of you, know about the 12-step program. It is something that we normally associate with addictions like alcohol or drugs. And yet I think what we fail to realize, and I didn't know this until 3 or 4 years ago, it originated as a way of helping Christians overcome the world. This comes from the Journey to Recovery Through Christ Study Bible. This is what we use at the prison in our classes that we teach the men there. And Don Humphrey, in that book, in the introduction, says this. In 1921, Frank Buckman, a Lutheran minister, developed the approach, quote, with the idea of recapturing the ideals of first century Christianity to achieve spiritual regeneration by making a surrender to God. In other words, the 12-step program was first offered at a church, not for substance abuse, but for sin abuse. And I like the way the first three steps of the 12 steps are summarized. I can't. In other words, I've come to the point now I recognize I can't do this on my own. I can't. He can. That is Christ. Christ has the power to help me get over this. And step number three is summarized by saying, I'll let Him. I can't. He can. I'll let Him. Not everyone fights addictions to substances. I thankfully don't have a problem with alcohol or drugs, but I think we all have an addiction to sin that we struggle with. And there are times we say, Lord, I really don't want to do this. I really want to be freed from this. And Christ says, I can help you with that. Whenever you're serious, let's get together. Are you serious right now? Are you ready to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I've tried. I have failed. I need you, Lord. Then if you have faith in him as the Son of God, if you're ready to turn away from sin, repenting of it, if you're ready to confess him before others as the Son of God, if you're ready to put him on in baptism, totally surrendering yourself to him, all those sins that you've committed in the past are now set free and you no longer live under the power of sin, but under the power of Christ. And sometimes we don't keep up with that. We allow sin to drag us down again. We have sown sin into our clothes and it pulls us under. And that's when we need to say, Lord, help me, save me, forgive me, an erring Christian, as I repent and pray for forgiveness, and he will. Can we help you? Come as we stand together and sing.
Jesus is tenderly loving me.
Rita has come forward this morning asking for prayers for a niece as well as for a couple of friends. And these are, well, first of all, she just wants to pray for her niece and for a friend, Mary. Well, I guess these are two. Paula is the niece and Mary is the friend. Paula has COVID for the third time, she has written. was just a few months into recovery from the second case, and of course she's very concerned about her. And Mary has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I've totally butchered that, I'm sure, is in great pain, mostly bedridden. She found out Thursday she probably has vascular EDS, most likely, which will end her life within 5 years. And she prays that the next test will show that her EDS is not vascular. So both Paula and Mary are dealing with difficult things. And I also want to note that Rita wrote at the top of this note, thanks to Seth for his examples. So Seth, you've made an impact. And she appreciates that. Many of us do. So we're going to pray for both Paula and Mary in just a moment. We also want to let you know that we have another new member of our family. This morning, a couple of our elders met with Henry Winston, and Henry wants to identify with us as a member of this congregation. Henry is right over here. Would you stand for just a minute, Henry? Henry has worshiped with us on a number of occasions. He's been a truck driver. He's from Chattanooga, grew up, has many friends and family in the Church of Christ, is a member of the Church of Christ himself, and now he's settling down in Johnson City and wants to be a part of our family. So Henry, welcome. We're so glad you're with us. And others of you may be thinking about that. We'd love to make the announcement about you as well. But right now, let's bow and go to God in prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for your great love and mercy and for hearing our prayers and for doing what is right and best. And Father, we confess, sometimes we really want something to happen that is not your will, but always, Father, you let your will be done. You know far better than we do. We want to pray for Paula, Rita's niece, who is now again going through the COVID virus. And Father, we know that for many it takes a great toll on their bodies. We pray that Paula will have strength to overcome this, and that very soon she'll be feeling much better. And we pray for Mary, who has these very difficult problems, and one test has suggested she has a terminal illness. And Father, we pray that is not the case. We pray that there will be additional findings that will show this not to be the case. But Father, whatever may be the case, bless Mary that she might have your strength and assurance that you're by her side. And Father, we thank you for Henry, that he has come our way and now wants to be a part of our family. And we pray, Father, that we will open our arms to him and welcome him, that he will add to our effectiveness in reaching out to the community, and that together we will be a stronger body of Christians here at Central. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Most of all, thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 962. Number 962. Were you there? We'll sing the first, second, third, and fourth verse. And the question, were you there? You know, the message of the song, really, when you listen to the words and you think about them, we weren't physically there, but 2,000 years ago, we were there. Jesus died for you. He died for me. So keep that in mind as we sing.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when?
But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostile. Father in heaven, we come before you to thank you for that precious sacrifice of your Son, that broken body, that free gift that he gave us. We were far off from you, separated by sin, but now we can be one with you. We can stand before you because of that blood.
Thank you now for this memorial. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray again. Our Father in heaven, we thank you now for this emblem of your Son's precious blood. That blood that washes away our every sin and makes us whole again and stand clean before you. Help us to remember that love that kept Jesus on the cross until his death. In Jesus' name. Now let's pray for the offering. Almighty God, you blessed us so very richly. Your grace and your mercy and your love is without bounds. You blessed us in life and health and materially. As we give back now, help us to do so cheerfully that the funds may be used in the best way to glorify your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer, please? Our Holy Father, we come to you thankful that we have been freed from our sins. And Father, I pray that we will awaken every day knowing that our identity is not shaped by the world around us or even our families, but our identity is shaped from you. And therefore, we can go through each day with optimism as we face our burdens and with confidence as we face our challenges, that you are in control and you love us and you have saved us and we are free of our sin, which is our greatest burden. Father, we cannot thank you enough. Father, we are particularly mindful this morning of so many who are on our prayer list. We are thankful for Rita's expression of concern for her loved ones, Paul and Mary, and we ask your blessings on them. We continue to pray, Father, for Johnny, as Linda has shared her concerns for him, and his struggle has been quite significant. Father, we are thinking of Ed K and Ken G as they're going through such a difficult time. It's such a burden for their families, and there are others, Charlotte B, Carrie V, Edna H, Jim C, who are going through extraordinary difficulties. For Mark S and Bill H and Mike M, and Father, there are just so many who are in need of your extra special blessings for their physical burdens, and we ask your mercies to be on them. Thank you for caring for us so much the way you do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.